coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Welcome, 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 everybody.
What it is.
Holy shit. Happy election week, month, year.
Month.
Pretty much.
It's going to be a month.
It's going to be fucking nuts, man. Holy shit. This week proves that you're never too young for your first being on flashback. You know what I'm saying? Just saying.
In MMA news, Cito Ortiz is calling for a recount in California. Big Brain is back at it. He's back at it. He's back on there making moves.
You never know.
Come on.
Gabe's favorite individual on the planet, Cito Ortiz, just won. Was it like he's part of the school board or something? Or he's school crossing guard? Or what are you going to
do? I think he's head of sanitation for Huntington Beach.
Really?
No, he's on the city council. He has a city council. I'll tell you this. I like Huntington Beach. I'm so thankful I don't live there. When Tito Ortiz is on your city council, things are bad. Things are bad. I want a recount in Huntington Beach. I'm calling it right now. Voter fraud.
California's been blue since after Reagan. You know, that it's not going back to red anytime soon. What the fuck, Tito Ortiz? What are you doing? Is that your executive order? The first thing you call for is a recount? Motherfucker. Oh, my God.
Tito's got a Tito.
The guy can barely speak a lick of English and he got elected. How is that possible? How is that possible?
I love it. It can't get any better. Kanye, 2020.
did you see somewhere he actually got like 3% of the vote?
He got 60%. Kanye West.
I think he got like 10,000 votes, something like that. Yeah.
It's 3%. Yeah, I mean, that's actually not bad. That's sometimes what the Libertarian Party gets.
I think Marumbai, the ape that won or that died. Remember that there was a Marumbai or something like that, an ape. I think he got the same amount of votes as Kanye.
I don't even know why he ran in the first place. What party was he affiliated with? Was it like an independent or was it like?
I think he was rode in at 3%.
He was on the California ballot.
Oh, was he? Okay. I know Jo Jurgensen, is that her name for the Libertarian Party? She got like, I think 7% of the vote in some whatever place that Kanye got 3% of the vote. So I thought that was kind of an insult.
why do independents even decide to run? I mean, it's just like a waste of a vote. They're not gonna win.
The Libertarians or what?
I disagree with that. I think we need to have more political parties. I think it's imperative for our democracy to have different opinions and people that are not part of the machine, which is the Democratic and the Republican parties.
I absolutely agree with that. Unfortunately, yeah. The way the system's set up, it's not plausible for it to actually happen.
There's no money behind
I would love to see it where they would say, okay, let's do it to where it's like a one, you know, first, second, and third choice. And then if your last choice person sucks it drops off, your vote goes to the next person, giving everybody a fair shot at actually making their vote count. In my opinion, I don't know if that made sense, but
the last guy to really have a shot. The last shot that actually, the last like independent that actually had a shot of winning the election was Ross Perot. It was like 1992, and then 1996 again, and he was like a tycoon. He got 19 million votes. 19 million. Yeah.
No. I mean, he definitely did. He did better than you would expect. But yeah. He absolutely did not. Yeah. So since we're keeping this on the political tip, did anyone see that Andrew Yang is going after the UFC?
Yes. And he's going to enact. He wants the Muhammad Ali Act enacted. I was like, Andrew Yang, yeah. Yang gang, baby.
Love that guy. I love that guy.
My man, boy.
I love that guy. Now, I think his campaign slogan was not left, not right, forward. Love it. Yep. Love it.
All right. So Eric's in the backstage. Let's bring him on in.
Let's do it.
Do it. Let's do it. Were you guys talking politics?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah, my bad. My bad.
It's what the kids like.
I try to keep this train moving in a MMA sports. Let's not talk about the bullshit.
Right.
But it keeps.
What is it?
It somehow gets deviated. So.
Yeah, politics, huh?
It's hard not to, man. I mean, this.
I'm so sick of it.
I just brought up Andrew Yang and UFC. That is absolutely MMA related.
Ugh.
True. He is trying to bring in MMA into it, so it's.
Oh, God. The UFC. Guess,
what did you say? So Andrew Yang did what with the UFC now?
Well, it's just over. It's how much of it can we stand?
Yeah, but with Andrew Yang though, he wanted to go after the UFC and go after mixed martial arts and act. And we talked about this with Guy Mesner last week that with the new pancreas that something like the Muhammad Ali Act. Has to be enacted where you protect the fighters. You have a ranking system.
Oh no! Absolutely.
Yeah. So Andrew Yang, who actually ran for president, he wanted to go after mixed martial arts, and that was one of his initiatives, and he's still going to pursue it, where he wants to make the Muhammad Ali Act a reality. Which I'm all for, man. I'm absolutely all for the Muhammad Ali Act.
Yeah. I mean, whatever protects the fighters. I mean, but who's going to protect the fighters against promoters?
Right. You know?
I mean, we're surrounded. We're surrounded.
That's what the Ali Act would
sacrifice for, you know?
That's what the Ali Act would essentially create. Unfortunately, there needs to be some regulation, like a lot of things. Otherwise, like everything else, it just is going to get utilized in an unfair manner.
No, I agree. I agree. I mean, Larry Hazard, way back 100 years ago, created, you know, the MMA rules that kind of got adopted by everybody, you know. I'm just glad they're not in there brutalizing themselves like in the early UFC days. Yeah. You know, guys don't come back from that type. You know, I mean, I remember Gary Goodrich hitting that guy with elbows. I was like, holy cow, like that's brain damage. You know,
that was like one of Gary Goodrich's early fights. Like he fought in Pride and he was a mainstay in Pride.
Right.
But you know, he fought in UFC. You guys have to YouTube this fight. But like, so he's in a kind of like a fireman's carry type situation.
Well, he's got him in a crucifix.
Crucifix, yeah. And, sorry about that, fireman's carry.
Yeah.
And almost the fuck out of him, like to oblivion. The guy was knocked out unconscious.
Like, he was trying to bust the coat.
I remember watching that.
Like, holy cow. You know, and you know,
brutal
coming from a wrestling background. I mean, I wrestled all through junior high school, and college. I literally gravitated straight towards pancreas. You know, right. We didn't get a lot of Japanese stuff here. I mean, occasionally you saw the New Japan stuff. I never saw any Fujiwara stuff. You know, the one thing with Japan is they never marketed anything. You know, if it wasn't for Boss Rutten and the earlier guys bringing it to America and maybe those one or two SEG promoted pay per views, you know, for pancreas. We would have never known what it is. And it's so funny because I had posted a picture up on Ric Flair's Facebook the other day holding the King of Pancrase title.
What is that behind you anyway?
That is our King of Pancrase title.
That's beautiful.
I'll be needing one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, right, man. You know. and it's actually sitting on top of my 1972 Dodge Challenger.
Beautiful. Excellent. And a lot of people don't know this, but you actually were with the Lions Den way back in the day, correct?
Well, this is how it went. I started, like, a friend of mine who I wrestled with in high school had called me to his house to watch The Ultimate Fighter 3 on VHS tape. And I said, I'm going to train Ken Shamrock one day. And I got hold of Horion Gracie when they were still, I guess, in the building stage of the Torrance School. And I'm laying on the couch, and my mother says, Hoist Gracie's on the phone for you. And I'm like, and this was like 93. And I get on the phone. I must have picked his brain for about an hour on the phone. And he had said, well, I'm on this whole big seminar tour. Why don't you come and work with me on these seminars? And I literally followed Hoist Gracie around the planet, you know, doing seminars. And then I'd found out that Pancrase was doing a tryout. Mr. Ozaki, Masami Ozaki, was going to Jason DeLucia's gym in Boston for Pancrase tryouts. And I went up there and I failed miserably. And I had talked to Hoist about it. And he says, you know, I think you should go to Pancrase. He goes, I think it's great. He says, we don't have any flags there. I mean, it's all the Dutch and it was Lions Den guys and P-Lab guys. But, you know, if that's what you want to go do it. And then I guess about a year after that, I got hold. Oh, my God. I must have called every connection I knew everywhere to try to get a number for Ken Shamrock. And I ended up getting the number for the Shamrock Home for Boys. And yeah. I must have called that place 15 times a day, every day for like a month, trying to get a hold of Ken or Bob or Frank. And Bob called me back. And literally, we talked for about 2 years, almost every other day on the phone. And they were still up in Lodi, up in Lockford County, up in Northern California at that time. And he says, and this is the funny part, he says, we're moving to San Diego. He says, why don't you come and try out for the team? And I went, I've seen Lions Den tryouts. I'm not trying out for your team. I just want to come and be a part of it. I want to come and train. I said, my ultimate objective is to go to Pancrase. And I didn't realize at that time, because we didn't know the politics of it all, but Ken actually pulled everybody out of Pancrase. And the story that I heard is Jason didn't want to leave. That's why Jason DeLucia ended up not being part of the Lions Den at the end, because he wanted to stay at Pancrase and Ken pulled everybody out. So anyway, and he says, well, we're moving to San Diego. So that night I had to have a conversation with my first wife about wanting to move to San Diego, packing up everything in New Jersey and moving to San Diego. And it's funny because she had told me, well, I got to talk to you about something anyway. So let's just, you know, have dinner and we'll go talk. And she said, and my wife was a doctor, a pediatrician at that time. And she said, I got this amazing job offer and I think we should move because the sign-on bonus was like $250,000 or something crazy. And I said, well, I was going to talk to you about us moving too. I said, where's this job at? San Diego. So I'm like, we're going to San Diego. This is great. Literally the day that they pulled up in the truck, I was there. I helped unload the truck, build the rings, and every single day I got to talk to Bob Shamrock. Bob Shamrock, awesome. And the one thing he always cared about was, what are you trying to accomplish? How can we help you make your goals? You know, and that's when Shamrock 2000 was there, Jens Pulver was there, you know, and he had sent Jens to, and Jens is amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, he was unstoppable back then.
Oh yeah.
And there was nobody for him to train with. Like, he was that good. And yeah. and Bob Shamrock called up Miletich and ended up sending him up to Iowa. Yep. And then about a year after that, Ken had just came back from WWE. And I was like, you got to teach a pro wrestling class. I want to learn strong style wrestling. And he was like, I'm not doing wrestling. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I used to sit and talk to Bob about how he got to Japan, because people think they can just go to Japan, like, oh, I'm going to go fight in Japan. The two things with Japan is, if you're not who you say you are, you'll never get there. The second thing is that you have to be invited.
Right. And Ken Shamrock, and just to interject and just keep score here, when Ken Shamrock, he was in the WWE for a while. He went from the UFC to the WWE. He arrived in WWE around 1996, 1997. He was the referee for Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, before that, he had the match with Vernon Tiger White.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. They did have an exhibition match, and it was like a shoot-style match. But then Ken Shamrock has a long stint until about 2000, and then he goes to Pride, and his first fight was against Alexander Otsuka, who was a very good, the Butcher, who was a very good Japanese pro wrestler. So it was pro wrestler versus pro wrestler, and it was just the Pride Grand Prix 2000, and then Ken Shamrock, his first knockout win back. So continue, sir. Sorry.
Okay. So I used to talk to Bob Shamrock about the Fujiwara Gumi, and this is where the story gets a little diluted, because you hear Ken Shamrock talk about Dean Malenko got him to Japan. And it was always told to me that Bob Shamrock always told me, he says, it wasn't Dean, it was Jody Malenko. And I think what ends up happening is when Ken tells the story to a bunch of marks or a bunch of guys that don't know, you know, really, they just saw the word pancrase on his Wikipedia page. So they're like, oh, you read pancrase? Like, they don't, half these people don't even know what pancrase is.
Right.
And I think when they say Jody, when he says Jody Malenko, they go, who? He goes, Dean Malenko. And they're like, oh, okay. So I think that's how the story got switched to Dean Malenko. So literally it took me about a year to talk Ken, and he came to me, he sat me down, and he said that I'm going to do one pro wrestling class. It's going to be 2 years long. Whoever signs up now can do it, and that's it, and that's it. And I think 15 of us signed up, and only two of us got all the way through it, me and Tommy Wilson. Everybody got fucked up bad. Like, I just saw the most, like, it's just, Lion's Den was brutal back then. Like, if you told people you're from the Lion's Den, they're like, oh man, come on in, have a bowl of soup, man. Just come in here and sit down and relax, man. Put your feet up. You know, I'm in there every day with Pete Williams, Mikey Burnett, Joe Hurley, Vernon Tiger White, Ken Shamrock. I mean, everybody was coming through there. We'd have 200 guys coming in there a month for tryouts. Steve Bruno, who's the head trainer for American Top Team down in Florida, Ed 9mm, you know, Manny, who runs 10th Planet. You know, we were all there doing it. You know, I fought in their smokers. You know, all those guys were going to Tijuana. You know, we did the Olympic Pancration Games.
Wow.
And it's funny because Keith Hackney was our coach. Not even Ken. They didn't even ask him to do it. He was like the assistant coach. Keith Hackney was our pancreation coach.
We kind of dropped Eric in on here without really giving an explanation of who you are or what you're doing. But so you're putting together a new documentary for Pancras. So.
Well, it ended up being even weirder than that because it's a 6 degree of separation. Because I love pancrase. I love the old school pancrase hybrid wrestling. And then I learned that it came from – I knew it came from Masa Funaki and Minoru Suzuki. And I didn't realize that they were trained by Fujiwara. And then I found out that Fujiwara and Inoki were trained by Carl Gotch. Now, you know who else was trained by Carl Gotch? Jody Malenko. Since the age of 15. Imagine being 15 years old doing 5,000 Hindu squats with Carl Gotch.
Fucking nightmare.
Right. Carl Gotch never trained Jody. Dean. He trained Jody. So now I'm like, Jody Malenko's name came up. And then I start going on YouTube, and I'm seeing all these tributes to Carl Gotch that are like 8 and 10 minutes long. I'm like, literally, the guy that invented mixed martial arts and brought strong style and everything else in Japan, his whole life is wrapped up in 8 minutes. I wasn't cool with that. And I had just finished the Just Incredible documentary. And I said, I got a passion for this, and there's no way I could tell the whole story in an hour and a half. So I contacted everybody, Guy Metzger, Jody Malenko, Chris Lytle, Josh Barnett, Boss Rutten, all the Inokis, you know, Durango and Oroku. And I got everybody together, and it just worked. Like, I sat everybody down at this huge dinner meeting. You guys actually did the live video at the end of the dinner. Yeah, it was great. And everybody was on my page. Like, we got to do this right. And part one, we have Guy Metzger narrating the entire history of pancreation back from 860, 100 million years ago. I've got Jody Malenko narrating an entire episode on Carl Gotch. And third episode is the Fujiwara Gumi with Chris Lytle and with Nate Marquardt narrating. And then we've got Boss Rutten talking about, you know, the Ozaki era from 1993 until 2008. And Josh Barnett. Josh Barnett's awesome. Like Josh Barnett, we shot both the episodes, Josh and Boss, on separate days at Elite MMA up in Westlake at Boss Rutten's gym. Flawless. Went off without a hitch. You know, we shot Jody's and Nate's at the Inoki Dojo. And the other ones, we have a huge production studio in Riverside. We got a 50,000 square foot production studio. And it just worked.
Now, Gabe, did you ever work with any of these guys? Maybe I know you ran across Chris Liddell, but did you ever work with any of these guys, Gabe? At all?
I've sparred. I've unfortunately with Josh Barnett. I know Josh really, really well.
Josh is great.
You know, I don't know who else is on that list. There's a lot of people on the list.
Chris Liddell says he knows you from the WEC days.
Yeah, yeah. I know I know Lytle really well. Josh, I mean, you know, we trained together at Eric Paulson's gym years ago, and love I see Eric. Him at fights all the time. So Eric's
awesome.
Another one of those guys that people don't know about.
Oh my god.
As far as the history of MMA. Yeah, yeah, he's
when Mikey Burnett got shot last year or 2 years ago. Anybody remember that?
I didn't know that. I don't remember Mikey Burnett getting shot.
Mikey Burnett got shot four times in Tulsa, mm-hmm. Oklahoma. He was coming out of the gym with his son, and three teens walked up into his truck and asked him to use his cell phone, and he goes to pull out his cell phone, and they pulled out a .38 and shot him in the stomach, in the crotch, in the leg. And then his son ran around the truck and put him in a body lock, but he wrapped his legs around him, and the kid stuck the .38 to his leg and shot his son in the leg.
Wow.
Mikey Burnett had his neck broken, bitten by a brown raccoon.
What?
And shot four times in his life. Oh, and he lost his right ear to cancer.
Jesus.
He's still Mikey Burnett. But Eric Paulson, I raised money to help him with his hospital bills. Eric Paulson was the very first person to step up and give me money for Mikey Burnett. Eric Paulson. Awesome.
Solid guy.
Awesome. Awesome guy. Awesome guy.
Things are just heating up, and I appreciate it. But I had a 30-minute window today. Eric, I'd like to spend more time talking to you later. But
absolutely.
I have to take off. I have family obligations.
No, please.
My girls are priority one. So I said I'm going to do 30 minutes, and then I'm going to jump on. You and I can talk later, my man. I think there's plenty to talk about there. And
whatever you need.
Yeah, definitely. So. Everyone enjoy the night, and I will see everybody next week.
All right. Peace out, brother.
See you later, Gabe.
All right.
All right.
So
all right. Now we can talk about him.
Yeah.
Okay. So before I continue,
okay.
And I'm going to get into a lot of detail, and I hope you guys got time for me tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
Nope.
Thank you guys for always getting us on. Thank you for getting my guys on. Thanks for talking about Fight Labs. Fight Labs. And I watched the Guy Metzger episode. Guy Metzger makes me sound like a lunatic, and that's okay. But first things first, I am about to make a little boy very happy out there in the internet because he wanted me to give him a shout out. But I'm only kidding. You two are actually going to come and do color commentary on the very first Pancrase show for television.
Wait, what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
FYI, I already knew this.
Yeah, he already knew.
Yeah, baby! That's fucking awesome!
Yeah.
There's no meeting on Sunday.
Yeah, no, we had to do that together. This is going to be huge. We are bringing in Japanese drumline, Masami Osaki, Ensign Anaway, Manabu Yamada, Takafumi Ito. We're working on Fujiwara and Suzuki. Guy Metzger, Boss Rutten. We're working on Josh Barnett, Chris Liddell. Everybody's going to be there. We're doing 20 matches in Riverside before we move to the next location, and you guys are going to be there doing color commentary.
Well, I have a question, though. Because
you guys are on the very first American Pancrase show ever.
But I thought I had to, like, try out, and, like, I was going to send you footage because I did color commentating for ECF on Fight Planet. I thought I was going to, like, you know, kind of, like, put in my resume and everything like that.
We're good.
You're the fucking man. Thank you so much.
No, I love your energy. I love your energy, you know. And who better than you two coming off the gate? Like, this is so much. This is the first time in 27 years that Pancrase is actually coming to American soil.
Yeah.
And I've got the original president, Masami Ozaki-san. And I don't know if you saw this. And if you can see this.
That's sexy.
Hold on.
1993 to 2008.
Masami Ozaki. Holy We're actually shit. Giving this belt to the original Pancrase president.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Isn't that great? This dude, this thing weighs like 20 pounds.
And I was like tape trading with Pancrase, like, you know, back in the day, again, there was no YouTube. I had to like go through a magazine, pick out the tapes I wanted, yep. and then send it away. My mom would send it away. We'd get it back from Japan and then stick it in the VCR. But like, you know, so many classics came from Pancrase. Some of the best fights I've ever seen in my entire life. Pancrase started the same year as the UFC, you know,
yep. besides no, you know, no, well, same year, but Pancrase came out first.
Yeah. But like,
you know what I've got? I've got Ken Shamrock's original kick pads from Pancrase from 1993.
Holy shit, man. Holy shit.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Don't go anywhere.
Yes. Dude, I'm going to be commentating on Pancrase. Yo, what the fuck? Yo, this is fucking mind blowing, man. Dream come true, kids. Dream come true. Yeah,
I said, calm down. I got this. Just because I know how excited you were getting.
I had all my like commentating footage, all like everything like for like a resume. You put together a resume when you want a job, right? So like I was gonna get it all prepared, and you know, now I'm gonna be you know, this is the company I grew up watching when I was a little boy. Now I get to commentating. Fucking awesome. Holy shit.
These are Ken Shamrock's original kick pads from Pancrase.
Holy shit.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
That's and awesome.
The last time I saw an event from Pancrase, like the last time I saw it was Josh Barnett beat Yuki Kondo for the open weight tournament championship. Like
yeah. Super fight Josh Barnett is the king of Pancrase.
Yeah. And that was the last fight I saw, which 2003. Was that like, and kind of like Pancrase kind of like fell off, you know? That was like the last event I saw.
You guys are about to hear a whole bunch of crazy shit. Okay.
Please.
So before I even did all that, I wanted to go to Japan, go to Tokyo. This was right before the COVID. And I wanted to literally sit down with Masa Funaki, Minoru Suzuki, Fujiwara, Masami Ozaki, and then segue past the 2008. So I did the right thing, and I contacted Sakai, who owns Pancrase MMA. And I said, I showed him the clips of everything we're doing. I sent him dailies. I sent him your interviews. I had the Associated Press from Japan at the dinner, and they were like, you don't have permission to use the logo and you don't have permission to use the name. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm contacting you. I'm showing you, I'm doing everything positive. You know, I'm not doing anything behind anybody's back. And they said, you need to do things legally. I agree. Let's have a contract. So now my wheels are turning. And I went on the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and I saw that there was 5 patent trademarks for Pancrase Hybrid Wrestling with the logo, none of which are owned by Pancrase MMA in Japan right now. Yep. Sakai and Fuke not own the trademarks. They don't own the logo, and they don't own the trademarks. Wow. Then I'm looking at trying to use their footage because I was talking to Diamond Dallas Page because he had done the Jake the Snake interview, Resurrection of Jake the Snake. You got me so far? Right.
I watched it.
Yeah. So, right. So I said, how are you able to use WWE footage? And he says, you're allowed to use up to 15 seconds. Right. And it says, and if it's a documentary, as long as the person's still alive and it's not slanderous, you can do whatever you want. I mean, right now you can go on Netflix or YouTube or anything else and you'll see Donald Trump documentaries.
Right.
So my First Amendment protects me. So I wrote them back and then I said, well, I don't really need your permission to use 15 seconds at a time, but I'm going to let you know which clips I'm going to use just out of thing. Right. Then I find out they sold their whole library to Fight Pass.
Oh.
Right. So now they don't own a library. They don't own any trademarks. They don't own the logo and they don't own the name.
Right.
And I'm like, how are they doing this? Now, Masami Ozaki and World Pancrase Create own the trademark for live events. That was still live because there's live and then there's dead.
Right.
But the name Pancrase and all the merchandise, the hats, the gloves, the beanies, the bandanas, the shirts, everything.
Belts?
Dead. Trademark was dead. The logo was dead.
Belts?
Yeah, belts. Belts. I trademarked it. You know what else has never been trademarked?
What?
King of Pancrase.
No shit.
Not anymore.
So how are you gonna go about it? Because you know,
listen, though.
Okay.
Now you gotta remember. Boss Rutan, Josh Barnett, Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, Masa Funaki, Minoru Suzuki, Yuki Kondo, Manabu Yamada, they all work for Masami Ozaki, correct?
Right.
My brother, Genya Ozaki, who's the son of Masami Ozaki, who I love this kid. This kid is great. And if you're going to vape, I'm going to smoke.
Yeah, please.
So I cultivated a relationship, and I showed it. And this is the funny thing, because I was showing Ozaki everything that I was sending to Sakai to make sure, especially dealing with the Japanese, you don't want to say something that's off color. You don't want to present something the wrong way, because something could get misconstrued, and the communication could just go bad that fast.
Yeah.
And everything I sent to Sakai, I sent to Ozaki first. And Ozaki's like, I love this. I love everything that you're doing. This is great. And I said, be honest with me. I said, if you still ran Pancrase, would you allow me to do what I want to do? He goes, 100,000 times I would. 100,000 times. Then, Robbie told me not to smoke. Then.
Good call, man.
That's Bobby Pro. That's my podcast partner. So then I find out they never transferred the ownership. World Pancrase Create and Ozaki still own the live events. And I said, can we have a contract? Oh, no, he says, if you want to use it, just go use it. I said, I don't want to do that. I said, let's have a written contract. I'll give you a part of the company, but I want to bring back your old school Pancrase. I want to bring back the kick pads and the rope escapes because it was never marketed here. It never had a chance to catch on here because it was never marketed. Right. It wasn't marketed past like 96. Right. And the only time and how many times can you watch the same matches on YouTube? Or the best of DVDs, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and the first time, I don't mean to cut you off and don't mind my enthusiasm, but the first time that like we got a taste of mixed martial arts from Japan is when Pride came to Las Vegas and they did two events here, but it was really an infomercial to sell the company because that's when the Yakuza Clan, they found out about that and they lost their TV deal. So they were trying to like auction off Pride. So it was a big infomercial and you had Vince McMahon in the crowd. He was trying to buy Pride. Like Shane McMahon was talking him into it. So that's the only time we got really a good taste of Japanese mixed martial arts, which I feel is superior to American mixed martial arts. The pageantry, the walkouts, the parade of fighters, how they marketed fighters. The reason why Rampage.
I love it. Exactly. I love it all.
And that's why I believe there is an audience for Pancrase. I believe that we can, you know, you can capture an audience with Pancrase. Right. This is just a good fucking product altogether.
It's
don't
a great
mind
product.
My head. Exactly.
And here's the crazy part. We are Pancrase. We're not an American version of Pancrase. I own the name. Now, I own the name, the logo, the trademark. I own it all. Now, here's the greatest part ever. I wrote this contract, given Masami Ozaki, you know, I want to take care of him too. And he says, the only thing I want to change in the contract is that you have full rights even after I pass away to use the name and the logo. And I was blown away by that. So now I get a nasty letter from Sakai, the attorney. Now this is where everything gets friggin' weird. I get a letter from his lawyer saying, we hope you're trying to do the honorable thing, but you don't have any rights to this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, I told you guys that the trademark was unprotected. What if some wacko that didn't care about who you were grabbed it and they just started exploiting it? I said, I grabbed it here. If you want to take it. Next thing I know is they're getting really nasty with me. They're not responding to my emails. They're not responding to my phone calls. And then I get a letter from their lawyer. I called their lawyer at 10 and 11 a.m. on six different occasions, and the phone just rings. Now, for a law firm, wouldn't you have a secretary or a voicemail?
Or answering service?
No. And here's the funny part. I asked Ozaki's son. I said, can you call this place to make sure I'm calling the right number? He goes, yeah, give me the number. It's The phone number goes back to an abandoned building in an abandoned hallway, and there's a cubicle sitting in this room down this empty hallway with a phone. That's their law firm.
You know, it's very shaky doing business in Japan. This is the reason why Dream failed. This is the reason why Pride FC failed, which I mentioned, Yakuza Clan. And the original owner of Pride, the original president, hung himself from a fucking closet. And I guarantee it was not fucking him killing himself. Nah. And then you have Sophia Barr.
Was this before Hillary Clinton?
Right? Now here's the, right. Now, and you just hit it right on the head. Am I going to have a Yakuza problem?
Exactly.
I called, so what I did, because Inoki Sports Management has been with us since day one. Hiroku Inoki, his daughter, and her husband were at that dinner. I brought them in from day one, and I called them up, and I said, here, we might have a Yakuza problem. And Antonio Inoki himself called up Sakai, and Sakai did nothing but lie to him, saying that I don't have the rights and that I took the trademark, and I wrote them back saying I got the trademark and I flaunted it in their faces. And I said, that's not true. And the next day we went to breakfast and I showed her all the emails, all right, the contracts. And they were like, they lied to my dad. I go, yeah. She goes, F them. Keep moving forward. You're doing the right thing. You've got great people behind you. Keep moving forward. And I said, okay. But I still have to do my due diligence. I still have to protect Guy Metzger, Chris Lytle, all my guys, the product, everything. I mean, we've got a 27-page standard operating procedure. We've got business plans. We've got sponsors. We've got contracts. I can't jeopardize any of that. I called Anson Anaway. And Anson Anaway used to do all the security for all the gangster MMA shows in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know what he did? He walked into Sakai's office. And that's why I wanted Ensign on the show tonight, because he will tell you the same story. He went to Sakai's office, Pancrase MMA, in Tokyo. Sakai wasn't there, but some third-rate guy was there. Gave him some runaround story. Ensign knew he was lying. Ensign, the next week, and Ensign called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. He just came back from one of his fighters fighting on the Pancrase MMA show. And he saw Sakai, and he saw Fukai, the president and the CEO. And they lied to him. They said he doesn't have the rights. He has no right to use the name or the logo. And Ensign's like, I seen all the paperwork. Yeah, he does. And they are going to run. And, yeah. And he says, if you lie to me, there's going to be a problem. And they shit.
A problem. Ensign in UA does not fuck around. So that's one guy you don't want to trifle with.
He is like the big uncle I never had.
Pretty much.
And I wanted him to come on and tell the story. And I talked to him about a half an hour before he came on. So we're not some, and again, what? It's a Fugazi.
It's a Fugazi. Forget about it.
I don't know how you knew that thing was a Fugazi.
Get the fuck out of here.
But the problem is that you see when the trademark went loose, you see Pancrase London, Pancrase Korea, Pancrase this, Pancrase that. Those days are over. Try to buy a Pancrase shirt online that ain't coming from Japan. And the funny thing is, my trademark attorney told me I could actually sue Pancrase MMA for using my logo and my name.
Exactly.
But not even, I own the name King of Pancrase. I own Pancrase Hybrid Wrestling and the logo. It's mine.
So my one question, now that I'm your newly hired hype man, which I'm very proud of, and you know, that's a punch right in the childhood. I can't fucking wait. But like, yeah, besides that, like venues, like thinking venues, marketing, television, how are you gonna get the footage and like not
okay
fight pass and like first event how's it happen?
Okay, my production team, Professor Shannon, is the head of the film department at USC. My whole film department are all professors and teachers at UCLA and USC.
Nice.
Yeah,
that works too.
Yep. Now here's the cool thing. First thing I did was I put Guy Metzger in the presidency. You know, President HD FightNet, he's a Lion's Den brother. And here's the cool thing. This was the clincher for all of us. The two things that I really wanted to talk about, because remember, at that dinner, I got Jody Malenko, Chris Lytle, Josh Barnett, Inoki's people, Guy Metzger. I got them all sitting there. And I said, you know what? We've all been stolen from and we've all been lied to by everybody. I said, do you think any of us here are going to do that to each other?
Never.
Never. You think Busman's going to steal from Guy Metzger?
And to your point, too, and I just want to support your point, too. a fighter running the promotion is the best fucking idea possible. Ray Sefo runs the PFL. I actually covered the PFL and I asked to do media like and actually interview like some of the fighters. Ray Sefo got me right in. I interviewed him, Boss Rutan. That's where I first met Boss Rutan. And like I was right in that event and it ran so smoothly. All the fighters were taken care of. Ray Sefo went to every single fighter and said, "Are you okay? Everything okay? Great fight." Like if you want a promotion to run good, a fight promotion, put a fighter in the presidency. That's the best move you could have made. That is an awesome.
It depends. It's got to be the right person for the right job. And I've really been good at playing connect the dots with people. I actually know Boss Rutan because you remember all the Lion's Den guys fought in the King of the Cages back in the day.
Right.
Like Wet and Wild and all that shit. And that's when it was Boss Rutan's King of the Cage.
Right.
You know? But, and then the second thing I asked everybody, and I want you guys too, and I want everybody out there watching this, if I booked it, would you watch Masa Funaki versus Ken Shamrock in an old school pancrase match? Raise your hand.
That'd be fucking radical.
Right. Right. Who wouldn't watch that? Right. Exactly. Right. You wouldn't like to see Masa Funaki fight with Ken Shamrock in a pancrase match?
It'd be fucking nuts. I mean.
Right. Right. And as soon as I said that, I knew we had something.
But also you also have to get the modern fighters too, because you have those old school guys that the main event and the old school guys like me that watch the sport my entire life. I'm going to order that. But it's like, how are you going to find those new fighters, that new crop of talent? How are you going to find those old school guys that are relatable to all the old school diehard MMA fans?
Well,
I know, Eric, you don't just pull these names out of your hat. Is there something behind the scenes I don't know about?
As far as what?
Ken and...
Oh, no.
No, okay.
No. Nope. Why? I think Ken Shamrock's a lot like Josh Barnett. It's per event. Like, Josh Barnett and I have an understanding that with each thing that comes along, it has to be negotiated a certain way.
Okay.
And Ken Shamrock's got his management team that are pit bulls. You know what I mean? They want the very best for Ken.
And that's true.
And I do too. I want Ken Shamrock to have everything he wants to have. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that we're a fledgling company, and if we don't do it the right way,
right,
I don't want to do it.
You got to build to it.
But that doesn't mean you're going to see a basketball hoop in the back of my in any of my videos. You're going to do it right, but you got to do it practical. Yeah, no, and again, you know, everything ain't for everybody, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm not trying to compete with UFC. Guy Metzger says they're growing for them, and they are.
Just because it's not going to be at your first event doesn't mean it won't be at the second.
But when you talk, but again, and I talked to Josh Barnett about this. I just watched Harry Smith at his Bloodsport thing. I think Harry Smith would be great. British Bulldog's son.
That would be a pretty good one. And Harry Smith is still marketable, and especially coming from WWE. And we're talking about the same Harry Smith, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. British Bulldog's son.
Yeah. And he has trained, and especially trained in the dungeon. You know, coming from the Hart family, you got to be a shooter. You got to be a shooter when you're surviving in the Hart family. Yep. So Harry Smith would be tailor made for pancreas.
Do you know how many? I've known Jack Evans and Teddy Hart and TJ Wilson and Natty since they were all little kids. Like I used to tag with Teddy Hart for Jersey All Pro. I went to Hawaii Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor. I mean, I've done the whole wrestling gauntlet, you know, with all them. You know, and I grew up with Harry, and Harry's waiting for his MLW contract to get up, and I told him, I said, "We want you. I want him in pancreas." Better yet, we just had Nate Marquardt, and I'm sure everybody saw the pictures. Nate Marquardt wants to come back and fight.
That would be dope. That'd be awesome.
Better than Nate Marquardt, because he still has the pancreas belt.
Right.
He never lost. So he can legitimately walk to the ring with a pancreas title on around his waist and fight.
Him versus Harry, like hype it up as the British Bulldog, Harry Smith. Oh my God.
No, there's going to be the hybrid wrestling, which is the old school rope escape stuff with the yellow and red cards. We're also doing MMA with the 4-ounce gloves in the polygon.
Right.
We're also doing pancreas kickboxing. And and Doug Cartelli, and I wish we both fought this serious sinus infection. He's got it now and he's down for the count. Douglas Cartelli. And I worked with him. He opened up the Lion's Den in Connecticut, and I went out there and helped him get that started with with all of us. I've been loyal to him for 15 years, and he's put on some of the best shows I've ever seen in New England. I mean, he is the boxing promoter. And if you remember any of those early old school Pancrase stuff, there was boxing. There was kickboxing. There was hybrid wrestling. And again, they didn't stick to it long enough to make it catch on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, we also have a TV deal. We're going to be on nine networks on 6 continents and 5,000 cities starting in January.
Holy shit. Wow.
Everything except Antarctica, right?
Dude, Canada and Mexico wants us already. You know, Guy Metzger and I sat down this morning and talked. We talk like 16 times a day. We want to work with other promoters. We'd like other promoters to contact us. We want to help other guys get on board. I mean, on paper, Pancrase Hybrid Wrestling is the number 2 MMA company on the planet. 27 years in business.
Exactly.
You know, they killed me with the no marketing thing. You know, I don't even have a position in my own company. I'm the director of marketing. That's all I've been doing. But I'm on the phone 16 hours a day. I don't know how my wife puts up with me.
So for my own selfish reasons, do you think the first event's going to take place?
January.
Oh, I'm excited. Holy shit.
Yep. January.
Holy shit. I can't wait.
I mean, we were, and here's another good thing. Douglas Cartelli has actually, he's moving out here from Connecticut for a couple of months so we can get the offices set up. We're literally going to be right down the street from Boss Rutan. But we are literally like penned to deal with New Hampshire. New Hampshire is giving us carte blanche. Like, right. We're not going to have all the athletic commission problems that we have everywhere else. New Hampshire has literally says, whatever you guys want to do. I love the whole idea. We love everything you're doing. And we've got to create content. I mean, we're going to be doing 125 matches just in January alone to launch the channel. We're going to be doing there's going to be 4 different channels. And if you guys didn't catch this, we have signed a deal with Boss Rutan to do 13 episodes of the Boss Rutan Show.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's not going to be about MMA. No MMA.
Holy shit. It's going to be,
I mean, especially being Dutch and my godfather, John Savage. Ooh, he says he can't get on. Ensign Annaway is going to come on after me, I guess. But so much going on. Oh, my God. So much going on.
That's fucking impressive. And, you know, New Hampshire, I'm in New Jersey, so New Hampshire is a hot skip and jump away from me.
Where in New Jersey are you?
I'm in Bayonne, New Jersey right now.
You know where I grew up?
Where?
Montclair.
No shit.
I'm from Montclair. I grew up in North New York, Bloomfield, Glen Ridge, Deer Grove, West Orange.
I actually grew up in Emerson, New Jersey, and like I was the only UFC MMA fan in my school, and like I'd buy the old school, like, you know, weightlifting gloves, and we would have like UFC fights on a soccer field. Like, I was like the first UFC fan at like really small town, really like suburban area, Emerson, New Jersey. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Hold on 1 second. Let me text Ensign. Hold on 1 second. You guys want to get Ensign on?
Oh yeah.
Can you get him on while I'm on the phone?
Maybe.
Let me see if I can send him a link.
If he wants to join us, we can pull him right in.
Yeah, pull him in.
Well, he just needs to follow the link.
Here. I'm going to move inside. I think my battery's going to die.
Okay. All right, if you want me to, I'll pull you off the screen. And then you can
bring him up the screen for 2 minutes. Let me just run inside, okay?
Fair enough. Holy shit. Dude. I'm all smiles right now. I'm sorry. I'm a very happy man.
Does that make 2020 a little better for you?
Oh my god, I have. So January, we're gonna be commentating for Pancrase. Wow.
It happens.
I can die happy. Pretty much.
Forget about it. I don't know.
I don't think so. So you guys have no idea, but like to get ready for like this meeting on Sunday, I had all my commentating footage put together, like a nice little bundle, you know. And we're gonna get the president and the owner of ECF, Christian, on the show. He's like a good friend of mine. I actually fought for ECF. We're on Fight Planet TV, and shout out to them. But like, I had everything put together just for like this fucking like, just to get this gig.
You thought you were gonna have to sell yourself?
I thought so. You know. There you go.
Right. Yeah, right. So, what was I talking about?
What were you talking about, sir?
Well, you were talking about Ensign coming back on the show.
Because I get this. Ensign's awesome.
Yeah, Ensign's a man. Hold on.
I would like to have Josh Barnett back on the show, too. But
people don't know this. Ensign Inouye obviously is known to the diehards of mixed martial arts, and he's pretty much one of those legends, you know, those bad motherfuckers like Ensign Inouye. And actually, Ensign Inouye has a win over, guess who? Randy Couture.
Yep.
People didn't know that.
Did you ever see the Frank Shamrock fight? Oh, my God.
Yeah. The Frank Shamrock fight is crazy. Holy shit. I was watching that like a week ago. Like, that fight was back and forth. Like crazy, how the fight was stopped. The entire fight was nuts from start to finish. Legendary fight.
Frank Shamrock was always my favorite fighter. Always.
Oh yeah, fucking legend.
Yeah.
Another. Do you still communicate with Frank Shamrock? I talked to him a couple times. I tried to get like an interview with him in like 2016, 2017. Obviously, he's very busy.
We talked to him. I think he's going through some stuff.
Right.
So I'd love him to be a part of this Pancrase thing.
Yeah. Great guy. And for people that don't know, Bob Shamrock is actually the father of both Ken Shamrock and the adopted father of Frank Shamrock. So that's how they're all linked up together before the spring. So
And I honestly, I gotta say this, and I'm not trying to start any shit, but fuck J. E. Snowden in that book.
Really?
Yeah.
You read that book? What did it say?
It says a lot of bad shit about Bob Shamrock.
Who would badmouth fucking Bob Shamrock?
J. Snowden, let me tell you something. They didn't talk to me. They didn't talk to Jerry Bolander. They didn't talk to Guy Metzger. They talked to everybody. That book fucking sucks. That book is a throw Ken under the bus book.
Which is bullshit. I mean, like, Bob Shamrock had a heart of gold from everyone I've ever talked to about him. Like, Bob Shamrock was like the custom model of like MMA and pro wrestling.
Let me tell you something. When he died, we all tried to go to his funeral, and it was like the worst snowstorm in the world. Like, we couldn't even like get past like a certain point driving. Like, they turned us back because we had chains on our tires. You know, at least I tried.
If it wasn't for Bob Shamrock, Ken Shamrock wouldn't be here right now, because Frank Shamrock was in a bad way in his youth. And Bob Shamrock took him in and developed his talent and, like, developed him. And, like, Frank Shamrock, he was something special. And Bob Shamrock was the only guy that believed in him when nobody else did.
Well, I want you to think about what you just said. Think about what you just said. Okay. Carl Gotch trained Inoki and Fujiwara. Fujiwara trained Funaki and Suzuki.
Right.
Funaki trained Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock trained Jerry Bolander. Jerry Bolander trained Mikey Burnett, who trained me. If it wasn't for Carl Gotch, I think Ken would be the world's most dangerous bank robber.
Ken Shamrock was a bad man.
You know, Ken's a dangerous man.
Oh, yeah.
Ken's a very dangerous man. His brother Robbie, I love Robbie, the cheetah. You don't want to mess with those guys. Like on a real life basis. Like his brother, Robbie Kilpatrick, I wouldn't. You don't want those kind of problems. Like you're in a bar. Yep. Is Ensign figuring this out? You know?
No, I haven't seen him pop in yet. So.
Oh, okay. It says go to studio.
I mean, we could do this for next episode because we're running out of time. I mean,
are we? All right. Well, again, you know, it's. Like I said, we're trying to work with other promoters. You know, other promoters want to come in and contact us. I built everything. You know, the one thing Frank Shamrock had taught me, because I worked with Frank for a while when he left the Lions Den, is design everything on wheels. And we want to bring Pancrase hybrid wrestling everywhere, except Japan, of course. You know,
right?
And we're not going to be called, and our MMA is not going to be called Pancrase MMA, because we don't want to step on their toes. So it's going to be called Pancrase Hybrid Fighting.
Which is great.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We still want to work with them.
Same difference.
But they don't. Right? They just. I mean, and again, if I wrote a contract with them, what do I need from them? They don't own the trademarks. They don't own the name. They don't own the logo, and they don't have a fight library. Oh, here's more great news. Ensign Hathaway. So went. Remember, I told you Ensign went to the MMA show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They also got dropped from Fight Pass.
Oh wow! Really? I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah, Pancras MMA is no longer being carried by Fight Pass. So now they're giving their for some reason they said Venmo to Ensign. I think Venmo's got its own network or something in Japan.
Really?
I guess.
So what happened with Venmo?
They said they're on the Venmo network.
Okay, I mean it's basically paid YouTube.
Is that what it, like you see, and it's so funny because you go on like. Oh, so I again, going back to that story with Ric Flair, I got the belt, and this guy's like, oh, you got a replica belt for a defunct company. I'm like, that just goes to show you, people think that Pancras Hybrid Wrestling is defunct.
Yeah.
Time to educate these guys. Time to educate the entire American public about how great this sport is and how great this company was. And, you know, just the team to do it, you know?
Do you know, you want to laugh? Hold on. What's Will Clark's name? I was just talking to him. Hold on. Will. Oh, come on. He's a Pancras fighter. He's from New Jersey. He's actually, he has got a King of Pancras title. He won in Japan. I can't remember his name. But he's in Rockaway.
Let me see. Was it some like fanboy that bought it off of like eBay or something?
No. He's actually a real Pancras fighter.
No shit. Hold on one second.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can find him. I just talked to him, too.
Andy Main.
Andy Main, yes.
Got it. Yep.
Andy Main is coming in January.
No fucking way. Dude, this is going to be like a stack card. This is going to be like a stack card.
Listen, I said, whatever you want to do, brother. I said, you know, I'm from Jersey. Jersey's strong, you know.
We stick together, baby.
We do, no matter what. You gotta bring me a buttered roll, though.
Absolutely.
No buttered roll here.
I will fly you up a buttered roll. I promise you, sir.
Man. No, but Andy Main's coming. He still has his Pancras title.
He's a
guy that never lost.
Let's have a championship fight.
And the funny thing is that he's been trying to go back to Japan, and they're kind of like ignoring him. So we have a current MMA Pancras belt holder. Jumping ship and coming to us.
Insane. Fucking insane.
That's badass. Right.
So what do I need Japan for? They don't own their library. They don't own the name. They don't own the King of Pancras. They don't own the belt. Like, what do I need them for?
So let's make the best fucking product ever and relaunch this in amazing product, an amazing piece of MMA history. And again, you're just the guy to do it. But we are running out of time. So where can we find you? And I really appreciate you offering me a job, and I can't wait to be a part of Pancras. This is an honor. And like,
this is the first time Pancras is coming to America. 27 years.
Can't fucking believe it.
And the funny part is, this is actual martial arts history.
Exactly. Look
who that is. Holy cow.
He's there, right at the finish line. What's going on, Ensign?
Didn't have a Safari. You only can use this in Safari, huh?
It can go in Chrome or anything.
I used it on Chrome, but it just kept going in circles, man.
Huh.
So I had to download Safari, and then finally got on. Sorry, guys.
That man is my hero. That man is my hero. Absolutely. We wouldn't be doing this right now if it wasn't for Ensign Hathaway.
And we were just talking about you, Ensign. We were talking about, and a lot of people don't know this, but you actually beat Randy Couture. You're a part of MMA history, a big part of it. You know, diehards like me that grew up watching you, like your fights with Frank Shamrock, Igor Gorchanchin, like legendary fights. Like, how you doing? Like, what are you up to nowadays?
I'm good, man. I just started training people again. So my wife and Sudario Tsuyoshi, they're fighting, so... Started training fighters now again, so starting to get back into it.
Awesome. And where's your gym located? Like, where can people find you and kind of pick your brain?
I have a gym, and the one that I'm at a lot is here in Japan, in Ageo, Japan.
Nice.
Purebred.
awesome. How's the Japanese MMA scene that, like, with COVID, under the confines of COVID? I know Ryzen's a big promotion. You got ONE FC. Like, how's the MMA scene in Japan?
It's not too bad. They started running events again, and they're just doing it where you can only put in like 50% capacity. So most of the events have like a open seat next. It's a open seat, closed seat, open seat. So they're running events though. I mean, Japan is one of the few countries that I've been watching the news that really hasn't ever had a lockdown.
Yeah, and they're very big in community. They're very big on taking care of each other. Like, and I love the Japanese culture, and I think that's what attracted me from watching UFC to Pride Pancras, which again I was telling him that like I tape trade with Shudo, which you're a champion of, a former champion of. And I used to tape trade with Pancras, and I used to watch all the tapes when I was a kid, and I love the Japanese MMA scene. So speaking of which, you know, the new Pancras project that's going on, what was your involvement with it? We were talking about it before.
You got to tell the story.
I just pretty much helped Eric smooth out some ends and, you know, just connect him with some people. So it was just...
It's misunderstandings.
I'm not really a Pancras. I'm not a Pancras fighter, but when I heard what Eric and Guy, you know, what they were doing, is I thought it was such a good thing to have that I just wanted to support it any way I could.
Amen, brother. You know,
right.
And one of the things is I can't readily go to Japan. Like, they weren't even letting planes land. You know, and literally bowing, I went to Ensign. Because I'm really big on my privacy and not putting things out there. And I asked him, am I doing the right thing? And what am I doing wrong? And am I doing anything wrong? Please look at all my paperwork. He went through hundreds of emails, all these contracts, and if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I've done everything the right way with this. And Ensign went and spoke on our behalf to Sakai, you know, at the Pancras event. And we're full steam ahead. Is that about right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand what their stance is because they haven't. So I asked them if I could see what they have, and they said, "Oh, well, just wait. You'll see it." So I guess they didn't want to show anything to me. And they say they have something. I don't know. I did, but. How much more legal can you get but having the patent rights to?
Right. We own all the trademarks. We own the logo. Me and Masami Ozaki-san. And we're all together like a family again. You know?
I gotta ask this question too, doing business in Japan, because I see this as like a big opportunity, you know, just to, you know, spread some history around about mixed martial arts. Like, if I go to anybody, like, you go to a bar when you watch a UFC event and you bring up Shudo. Nobody knows what Shudo is. And you talk about Pride, and UFC bought Pride, but not just that, but they pretty much erased the history. They took all the fighters. They took all the talent. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, where have two separate leagues and keep that Japanese tradition alive of Pride. You know, like, this is, like, one of the remaining emblems of Japanese mixed martial arts that has a notable history. I mean, besides Shudo was started in the 80s, you have Pancras and UFC was started the same year, and Pancras even started sooner than UFC. Like, I wouldn't see why they would have a problem with this, but like, is it hard or difficult to do business in Japan when it comes to mixed martial arts, and why is it so?
I really don't understand why they're not working with it. The only thing I can think is, one, they could be just be close-minded. I'm not sure if Sakai or the people behind it are a little bit prejudiced to foreigners. That could be also one thing. Because this is a lot of opportunity for them to, you know, bring the name back. And I feel is they might be a little butthurt that, you know, they were called out on not doing the proper thing by registering the logo and the rights to the marks. And then Eric went ahead and did it.
They got outsmarted by a guy, Jing.
You went ahead and did it, and they feel like there was the one of the guys in Pranker's told me, Sakamoto. He told me that they feel like they've had the mark stolen from them. That was the only thing that I could see, that they're probably butthurt and that they don't want to cooperate. Which
you saw the email when I got the thing. I offered it to them, like, here. I just want to do the documentary. And then next thing I know, I actually own Pancrase Hybrid Wrestling, and I'm like, now I got to do something cool with it. I mean, we've got seven kings of Pancrase. We got you, and I can guarantee you within the first 12 months, one of Ensign's guys is going to be wearing that King of Pancrase title. I'm telling you. Trains beasts. Beasts. If Ensign's... Yes, sorry.
Oh, no, no. I just a question. I don't mean to cut in, but, like, you know, I'm a huge fan of Japanese mixed martial arts. My favorite MMA fighter of all time is Kazushi Sakuraba. The entire Takada Dojo, Nobuhiko Takada, Dajiro Matsui, the super rookie Kazuhiro Hamanaka. With all these legends, including you, who do you see on the horizon that is going to be a big star everywhere, like anywhere they go, whether it's Ryzen, 1FC, UFC, people that you're training with? Who do you see are the next wave of great Japanese mixed martial artists?
I mean, in Japan.
Correct.
I'm really curious to see how good the Asakura brothers actually are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've been doing good, but they haven't fought the UFC Bellator level yet. Right. One of the brothers beat Horiguchi, which is the world level, but, you know, you can beat him once. He caught Horiguchi with a punch. So they're going to have a rematch, I think, at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do it again, man. I keep saying these guys came out from the gangster fights. They're gangsters, and they came out from the streets. And it's like every time they win, I'm like, okay, nah, they haven't fought anyone good. The brother just beat Okubo, and Okubo was a Shuto champ. I'm like, whoa, shit, Okubo's good. Okubo's legit, you know, and there wasn't like a fluke. So now in November, the older brother Mikuta is going to be fighting this guy that's the Japan Shuto champ.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm really interested to see. So these two kids, their dream is to get into the United States and go into the UFC. So
come through Pancrase. We'll get them in the UFC because you know our fighters are going to be on their radar.
Yeah. I mean, they're right now, I think they're contracted by Rising, but their dream is to move up into the bigger, better events.
We want to bring fighters from Japan.
Those brothers are one of them that I think is super interesting. And then, of course, the guy I'm training, I might be a little prejudiced too, but he's a big boy. He's one of the few legitimate heavyweights coming out of Japan.
Is that the kid that you just brought to the Pancrase show?
Yes.
I want him. Dude, this kid looks like a stud. This kid looks like a true stud.
He's a big big boy. He moves lightweight. He's powerful. He's the real cool thing about him is he's 23 and he's still learning.
Isn't that great? Yeah. To be 23 again.
Hell yeah.
you know
what great heavyweight, you know, one of the greatest heavyweights out of Japan and always had an exciting fight, Kazuyuki Fujita. You know, one of the best guys, you know, like you watch his fight, they're all excited. Especially his fight with Mark Kerr. Classic. I mean, is he in comparison to like Kazuyuki Fujita, like in line with him as far as heavyweights go?
I think he can be better, a lot better than Fujita.
Wow.
Because he's way more well-rounded. You know, Fujita's more of a wrestler, never really got his strike in. He had good takedowns and good, ground and pound from the top.
And I think there's more resource now to pull from, you know?
Yeah.
Like when I was coming up, there was just Taekwondo schools. I had to move 3,000 miles away to learn, you know, submission fighting.
See, Tsuyoshi, not only, you know, he was a all-star basketball player before going into sumo. And then in the sumo world, he got into the top ranks of sumo before having to retire early because of problems he had and came into fighting. So he's this guy's an athlete.
Wow.
And the sport's always really fast.
Yeah, and the sport's always evolving. You know, it's an ever-evolving machine. Probably the fastest evolving sport in the world right now. But from your opinion, as a legend of the sport, and I can't stress that enough, and it's such an honor to come on the show. Like, what's your opinion on mixed martial arts right now? Under the confines of publicly traded companies, which UFC is owned by publicly traded companies, and Bellator as well, and, you know, 1FC, Ryzen, you have bare-knuckle fighting. What's your opinion on mixed martial arts right now in comparison to when you were in your prime and you were fighting through the ranks and fighting probably through the hardest division in MMA history?
I'm torn because I love what's happening because the martial arts is mixed martial arts become like a major sport. And, you know, the fact that it's getting so much exposure and people are realizing how good these athletes are. I love that aspect of it. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with because of the promotions and the, you know, the way they sell the fights and the, you know, some shit talking and, you know, all that stuff. Of course, they changed the rules to be more sporty. You know, all those things about, you know, making it a major sport. I'm really happy it's a major sport. But the disappointment I have is it's pulling the whole thing away from martial arts.
Right.
Yep.
It's yep. more, you know, I mean, in our day, man, if you shit talk, man, it's going down in the hotel, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
There was no, I'm going to call you all this, you know, dish your country or religion, and then I want to shake your hand after the fight. There was nothing like that, you know? So
that's what I'm saying. It kind of got pulled away from the purists. Like Lyoto Machida was a pure martial artist that went into MMA, you know? Yeah,
and even the rules, man, you know, the rules, you know, you got 3 points on the ground. You can't knee to the head. I mean, this is martial arts. I mean, if I'm a pro, then I'm going to protect myself from head kicks, right crosses, triangle chokes, mount punches. I can definitely protect myself from knees to the head on the ground.
Right.
You know. So I think they've taken away a lot of the parts of the sport that still becomes martial art, but it they did it for sponsorship, so it doesn't look too brutal, you know. So, you know, head stomps, soccer ball kicks, I think that's all part of the martial art. That's all because the base of the martial art is to learn to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So they're taking that away. I mean, you're going to train to be a martial artist, or you're going to train to be a UFC fighter.
Right.
And that discrepancy, I'm kind of disappointed in, but I'm hypocritical because I'm super stoked on going into Vegas and seeing your friends on billboards, like, holy shit, Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture on the billboard, like, whoa, you know, you usually see like Ray Charles and, you know, Lionel Richie and people that are like,
right, untouchable. Right.
But I'm seeing guys that I know that I'm like, wow.
I remember pulling into Vegas and seeing a giant Tito Ortiz poster rocking into Vegas. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had to have been a giant head.
And to your point, Ensign, like, I used to watch you in awe. Like, when you came out in your gi and you were mean mugging and, like, you came out with your corner, I was like, holy shit. Like, that sold me on, like, the tough guy aspect. You didn't have to tip shit talk. I knew you were a tough guy. And Sakuraba, too, to your point, you know, the biggest MMA event at the time was Pride and K-1 did K-1 Pride Dynamite 2002. It was Bob the Beast Sapp versus Antonio Nogueira, but the headline fight was because Yuji Sakuraba fighting Mirko Krokop, 100,000 people at the Japanese Olympic Stadium. Yeah, Sakuraba. Well,
you know your martial arts history, man, really well.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but
You know what kills me? If you go on Pancrase MMA website, you see a picture of Sakai bragging that 3,000 people a month come to a Pancrase show. I'm like, what? Like, I remember hearing stories of 30,000, 25,000, now 100,000 people, and you're going to brag about 3,000 people coming to your shows?
I could
draw that with a pro wrestling show.
And that's going to Ensign's point. Sakuraba, Ensign, Antonio Nogueira, and all these guys, that entire generation, sold 100,000 tickets and 30,000 at the Yokohama Super Arena and, like, all these different arenas. They sold out the crowd just being tough guys, just being themselves. You don't have to shit talk. You can just be yourself and sell out those arenas. I don't know why this MMA generation is stooping to shit talking to sell out these arenas when you, Ensign, Sakuraba, and all these great fighters never had to do so. They just sold out tickets being themselves. That was
I went to a couple Rage in the Cage events in Arizona. And it seemed like every end, like, I watched 15 matches, they all ended in an armbar. But these are all, like, street tough kids that don't understand that like, this is about martial arts. Martial arts is about bettering yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a Bushido, and that's, again, forgotten. What fighter in MMA really follows a Bushido anymore?
Code of the world.
All about the money, the glamour, and the belt, I guess.
So from martial art to sport to now entertainment, you know, in a way it does disrespect the martial art. You know, what's really hard is you got to realize that, the day that, I fought, Mark Coleman fought, even Boss, all these guys, there wasn't money. There wasn't much money. You couldn't get like a $1 million sponsor. You couldn't get rich and famous from it. You see UFC guys on TMZ, it's like, wow,
I know.
And, Jorge Masvidal is meeting Donald Trump, the whole new movement, back in my day, there was none of that ulterior incentive to pull you into the entertainment section. We're martial artists and we're there to just, weren't in the ring for any other thing but our honor and, to test ourselves in the ring. We weren't there to get rich or be famous or meet the president, I'm not dishing these guys today because if I fought today, that shit is very tempting. Exciting to get rich. You see these fighters fighting two big fights and buying a house, man. I had a hard time buying a house my whole career. But although materially and fame-wise, they're getting a lot, I think there's a lot of the martial arts aspect that spiritually that a lot of these fighters aren't getting,
What's tough? I actually was with Chris Lytle in the UFC locker room, and Dana White came in and brought him his checks and stuff. But him talking to Joe Silva, and Joe Silva wanted to line him up for title fights. And Chris Lytle, I'm not going to discuss how much Chris Lytle was making, but I mean, you can't live on what they were paying him. And he says, listen, unless I get a fight of the night fight, I want a fight where I can get a knockout of the night or a fight of the night bonus. And Chris got 7 of them. Chris Lytle had to fight twice as hard, and kind of not want to get a title in the UFC so we could actually make a decent check. Now when I see what Conor McGregor's getting, these guys are getting, I'm just like, holy cow.
It's really disappointing for me is that, I don't really consider myself a pioneer, so I'm not really speaking about myself, but I'm speaking about guys like Hoyce Gracie, Gary Goodrich, Mark Coleman, Don Fry, all these guys that are true pioneers. Right. All these guys, Conor McGregor, all these guys making millions on this sport that these guys have helped create.
Isn't that something?
I mean, those pioneers took the hits. They fought almost for free. They had to go to states that were legal, and sometimes they had to move venues because they got illegal. Mark Coleman should have a free pass to any UFC anytime he wants. He should be getting a percentage and be taken care of now. And yep. It's just sad that these guys, Conor McGregor, these guys think that they've done it on their own. Of course, it's not their responsibility. And someone, Dana White, especially, I would really be cool if he looked back and took care of these guys that made not just his sport, but his future.
Right. He's worth $500 million or whatever it is. And I don't know if you guys remember this fight. And I talked to Kenny Florian about it. Do you remember when Sean Sherk fought Kenny Florian?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And if you watch that fight, Sean Sherk turned Kenny Florian's face into chopped beef.
It was crazy.
He tore Kenny Florian up. And I'm like, how much did you get for that fight? And I don't want to talk out of school, but Kenny Florian got like $3,000 to fight Sean Sherk and got tore up. What are you going to do with $3,000?
And my biggest problem, too, in Two Ensign's argument to support his argument, if it wasn't for the Ultimate Fighter 1, that was their last dish effort to make money. Because at that point of time, the only time they even turned a profit or maybe even broke even was Ken Shamrock fighting Tito Ortiz. And the only reason why they pulled a profit is because Ken Shamrock brought his WWE notoriety to that fight. That's the only reason why it made a dollar. And if it wasn't for the Ultimate Fighter 1 and Kenny Florian and all these fighters, UFC wouldn't be here where it is today. If it wasn't for that Forrest Griffin versus Stephen Bonner fight, and you got to take care of the fighters. You got to take care of the people that built that sport. This is like, it's not quadruple business. I completely agree with Ensign on this.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier in the show. You know, who's going to protect the fighters against the promoters? You know, right. I love the whole Muhammad Ali law thing that you want to do. But there's got to, like, and again, there'll never be a pro wrestling union. There'll never be an MMA fighter union. It'll never happen, you know. It's management. It's management. And again, if you – and I've seen guys go into WWE, walk away from $100,000 a year jobs just to get into WWE and wrestle for 30 grand a year. You know?
Right.
You want you compromise a lot of what you believe in to be on television, you know, and try to do all these other things. It's just, I don't know. Like, is there an answer? All I know is Jankos Hybrid Wrestling is we're all fighters. We all trained. We all have martial arts background, and we're gonna do the best we can by all of our fighters. Nobody's here trying to work anybody. Nobody here is gonna be rich. We are here to promote the fighters, promote the company, promote the fights. You know, and I got the legends with me. I've got Seven Kings of Pancras. I got the Godfather of Japan, Anthony Hanaway, on your show, right? Everybody's doing their due diligence. You know, we're not trying to steal from anybody. We're trying to promote fighters, protect everybody, and just do something really cool, you know.
Absolutely.
And I got the legend behind us. And if you can't respect that, and you don't think that guy at Boss Room is not going to protect you coming in, then maybe you need to go to the UFC.
I'm just trying to bring Pancras back to the center stage.
Right, and do it the right way.
And I can't wait to be a part of it. I can't stress that enough. But, like, Edson, before we let you go, I do have a question for you. Actually, I have two questions. One, what's your favorite fight in your career? Because I can name three of them that I really like watching. I still watch. I watched one of them a week ago. But what's your favorite fight?
Okay, there's three.
Where do you see MMA going?
There's three. Yeah, one there's two is, fights. Randy Couture.
Yeah, Randy Couture is one.
The Randy Couture fight, because that was the fight that pretty much catapulted my name and everything, yeah? And then the second fight would be Igor Vobachanchin fight.
Oof.
Yes.
Because that's a fight that really taught me who I was and how tough I was.
What event was that? Was that Pride 12 Return of the Warriors? What event was that? Was that Pride 12 Return of the Warriors? Or
that was Pride 10.
Oh, Pride 10. I'm sorry.
And then my third favorite fight would be against Frank Shamrock.
Another classic.
Because I love that fight because we just went balls out trying to hurt each other.
Fucking awesome.
That was a great fight.
Amazing fight. That was the fight I watched a week ago. But before we let you go, where do you see the sport going? How do we get to the next level where it's at the level of soccer, football? How do we get to the next level in your professional opinion as a pioneer? Because I absolutely disagree with you. I do think you're a pioneer in the sport. I grew up watching you. So, like, how do we take it to the next level?
Well, I think the way it's going, it is going to go to the next level. I mean, unfortunately, I think the entertainment part is a big part of it. You know, the shit talking. I think it is something that is important, which is unfortunate. But I'm excited about this thing, that the Pancras thing that's going to go on. I mean, that was the hugest thing in Japan. The way that the rope escapes, it was,
I love it.
The way they dressed, you know, the way they were, it was a real exciting thing. And I watched Pancras before I fought, and I wanted to get into Pancras was the first choice that I had, but because they had a big test day and I had to wait for that, as I was waiting, I called Shuto, and I just happened to go to Shuto, but. The music, the way they did it was like they were like little stars, you know. I mean, of course, you know, some, you know, the fights, they're real fights, work fights, they did different stuff, you know. Right. So it was really, really cool, man. I'm kind of excited because in Japan, Pancras was at the time, you know, when Manabu was fighting, Shamrock was there, Bas Luten, it was the biggest thing. I mean, like before K1 really got big, it was Pancras, yeah.
Right.
So yep. I want to see. I'm excited to see when it gets introduced to the U.S. because the whole format was really interesting in Japan. And I mean, you got the boys supporting it. I mean, they were in Idol how Pancras was done. You know, Guy Metzger, right? Bas Luten, you know, Yamada. They all know
Mazaki. You know, Masamo Ozaki's.
Ozaki, yeah, that's a huge one.
That's so huge.
You guys gonna. You're going to get the authentic old school Pancras, which is going to be exciting.
I can't wait. Really
looking forward to that.
And the cool thing is that before the events, because we're gonna slate, we're slating it for the third weekend of January, but that Friday and that Saturday, Ensign Hanaway, Manabu Yamada, Takafumi Ito, and Jody Malenko are all doing seminars to try to train these guys. It's gonna be a 2-day training seminar with the biggest names coming out of Japan, and Jody Malenko coming out of, you know, Japan, doing these training seminars to try to get people to get up to speed on strong style wrestling, techniques, jiu-jitsu. Your game is going to go to another level. And at the same time, it's a seminar. It's also a tryout for Pancrase Hybrid Wrestling. And you can find this out. Go to PancraseHybridWrestling.us. You'll see fighter applications, seminar notices, new merchandise, everything. And it's all real Pancrase stuff.
Hey, Eric, can I put you on the spot?
Yeah, brother.
Would you be interested in flying out Tsuyoshi too with me when we come out?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Thank
you if I could.
I want to come.
I want to come.
Oh, wow. No, see, I did put you on the spot.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No. I was going to actually talk to you. We want him. When you see this kid, holy cow. Matt, I'll send you a picture. This kid is, I'm telling you, this kid's going to have a Pancrase title around his waist but within a year. Guaranteed.
All right. So now I'm even more looking forward to it.
Absolutely. What I'll do is I'll send you out a letter of intent, and I'll break it all down for you. And then, like I said, this is all depending on the COVID situation. I mean, so far it looks like it's going to be a closed event, you know, but anything can change in January. Maybe we'll have an audience, but – we've got everybody coming in. It's going to be phenomenal. And everybody at the seminars are all going to be COVID tested. They're going to be COVID tested before they come in. They're going to be COVID tested that day. And the entire arena literally is going to be sanitized and sterilized. Like, we got that Boss Rutan ion gun where we sterilize everything. Again, if you look at an entire film crew, a giant film crew, sound, 5 cameras, I had 9 guys there flying from all over the country, shooting everywhere, all these different locations. Not one case of COVID from any of my guys.
That's awesome.
Nobody got sick.
Edson, it's been a huge honor to talk to you. Obviously, I can't wait to meet you when you're at this event. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. Where can we find you before we let you go? I like Instagram, Facebook. Where can
you
find me?
Yeah, you can go to Facebook, Instagram, and see, you know. And then an interesting thing is you can go to my website, destinyforever.com. It's my bracelet website, but it has all my media and all my missions I do up north for the people. It's check that out, the website. It's not just to look at the bracelets, but you can kind of follow what I did and what I do. Destinyforever.com.
There's also some videos on YouTube of Ensign. He actually went all over Tokyo after the tsunami and the earthquakes and all that and helped homeless people. He helped people get clothes. He literally loaded up his Hummer and brought bags and bags and bags of groceries to people that were homeless after the earthquake.
You're always going to be the man in my book. And thank you so much. It's an honor to talk to you. And, you know, growing up watching you, a huge honor. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Mr. Anyway.
Thank you so much.
Sorry it was late.
Thank you. It's okay. It was well worth it. Don't even worry about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Man. So,
wow, fucking awesome!
Wow, Eric came full of shit.
Wow,
he had some browser issues, is what he had. So,
yeah,
it happens in the best.
I just got a text from MMA Weekly. Guy Metzger is gonna be on MMA Weekly next week, and ESPN coming up.
He's gonna be on ESPN. Holy shit! My dreams are coming true. I'm a part of this. Wow,
you guys had him first.
And
if you haven't thought of this yet,
nope, haven't.
That the documentary is going to be our infomercial for everything that we want to do, and it's coming out before the first live event. So we've got a 4-part documentary coming out on Pancrase on Netflix, going global, and then 6 weeks later we're having our first event.
Unbelievable!
So is that coming out in like what, December then, or
we're trying to get this out by Christmas? We're editing now. We're all done shooting.
Unfreaking believable. So we got to wrap up the show.
5 times a day.
Eric, thank you so much for offering me the job. Oh, it's an honor. Listen,
and Matt will tell you, I look out for those that looked out for us.
Absolutely.
We're not looking for any new friends. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I thank you so much. It's a huge honor to talk to you. You're launching this brand again, showing America what they've been missing.
Let me just give a couple shout-outs real quick before I go.
Please.
Bobby Pro, got to check us out on our podcast. Fight Labs. Fist bump Dan Freeman. I love Dan Freeman. Guy Metzger is my right hand, my left hand, my front hand, my back hand. Douglas Cartelli. Get better before I come to Connecticut and go crazy. Rick Kutzman does this great water thing for us, the silver water. Who else are we gonna think? My wife, Jennifer, who puts up with my shit all day. Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, all the Lions Den boys, Mikey Burnett, you guys. I want to thank you guys. Masami Ozaki, son, thank you so much. And Genya Ozaki, you're my brother. He translated for me for months to get this whole pancreas thing, and definitely Anton Anaway for pushing this whole pancreas deal through with Japan.
Big things coming. I can't wait to work with you. I it was an honor to talk to you.
This is, oh, big no. Things are coming. Listen, I'm that kid from Jersey.
we stick together, baby.
Right, and I own pancreas.
Absolutely.
Who knew?
Big things are coming in 2021. Eric, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Stay healthy, guys. Take care of yourselves. Let's talk soon.
See you later.
See you later.
We'll be talking, brother. I'm fucking speechless right now. That's great. Holy shit.
New job, new year, right?
Yeah, new job. Got a new job. And we're going to – Guy Mezzer is going to be on ESPN to talk about MMA Weekly. And we're going to be on, what, 9 stations? And this the first event is in New Hampshire, right?
For Pancras?
Yeah.
I think it's in Cali.
Can't wait to go to Cali. Maybe. You want to go to Cali?
I don't know.
We're going to Cali.
Yeah, I was thinking he said it was in Cali, but maybe they've changed it. I don't know.
All right, I guess we're going.
Wherever it is, we're going.
Awesome, sounds good. So what we got cooking? Obviously, I want to get back to the election, get back to my anxiety. Did you leave the I voted sticker under your pillow so the election fairy could leave you on Xanax? By the way,
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, I made that up.
I know.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what do we got cooking next week, son?
So, we got Chris Saro from BKFC, as well as Mark Godbear coming on. Both really, really impressive fighters. So, every time we have the BKFC guys on, it's a fun time. They're very, like, just fun people.
They're fucking so awesome. And I love promoting the sport and promoting the talent. Shout out to the president of BKFC, who actually had a really good fucking event his last show. We had him on the show. Great to talk to. Most humble guy I've ever talked to for being a president of a multi-million-dollar company. So big shout out to him. Ed, so we're going to wrap it up. Any last words going into the week, sir?
Yeah, be sure to download the app. Go to, on Apple TV, Roku, or Fire TV. Download the app. Watch us from the comfort of your own couch.
Absolutely.
Other than that,
awesome. Sounds good. And I have no words besides keep the vibes groovy. We'll see you next week. Check out the women's show on Wednesday. Check out our show on Thursday from the Fight Mixer. Stay sane, everybody. Peace.
Perfect. 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 Perfect.